morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, going to be with you for about 55 minutes. Today we have a really, I think, an interesting show. And I told it at the beginning of the week, this was PHS. That's where I went to school. This Pittsfield Public School Week, because I don't think all of the citizens are familiar with all that goes on behind those walls called schools. And I really tried my best this week to open the windows, open the doors, and let the public see what it is to be an educator today, an administrator today, a student today, and hopefully a parent today. Most of you know my background, and I would say 85%, I've said it before, 85% of the kiddos that I had in the Violent Youthful Offender Program wouldn't have been there if they had my mother and father, or perhaps your mother and father. But they didn't. So without further ado, Melissa, introduce yourself and your official title.
Oh, sure. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melissa Brights. I'm the Director of Alternative Education for Pittsfield Public Schools. I've been in the district since 1997, and I started as a special education teacher back at Taconic High School. I worked at Reed Middle School as a special education teacher and unit leader for about 14 years. And during that time at Reed, I taught self-contained classrooms, resource, academic support. I did a lot of co-teaching. And I loved working at Reed. That was some of my favorite times in the classroom. I enjoyed middle school a lot. People often say, like, what, middle school? I think you have to be a special person to be a middle school teacher. But certainly those were very rewarding times for me professionally. Then I went over to Pittsfield High School, and I was a unit leader there. So I had an opportunity to work with older students. And I also worked very closely with their special ed staff to develop and enhance the transition program that they have for students that are 18 to 22. And then after that, I entered this role about 7 years ago as the Director of Alternative Education. And under that umbrella, there are so many things that fall under alternative education. And I think when people think of alternative education, they primarily think of students that have social emotional needs or behavioral needs. And certainly that is true. But also in Pittsfield, we have some amazing programs to address the needs of students that maybe aren't necessarily have the behavioral needs, but they do have some social emotional needs. Right. So we have a broad continuum of services and supports that we offer for our students that just need to do school in a different way in order to meet their unique needs and to be successful and ultimately graduate with a high school diploma, because that's really what we want for all of our students.
Again, going back to my background, I would just tell you this. I wish everybody could be born an angel, but not everybody was born an angel. And I have to go and say to Melissa, some of the best years of my life were at North Junior High, a.k.a. Reed. give us some numbers, Melissa, if you'd be so kind. When you first told me, I was kind of astonished, but then I look at the whole student body, I'm not that astonished.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be.
Sure. So I'd love to talk to you about our enrollment and our programs.
Yeah, please.
So we have two therapeutic day programs. One is Crosby Educational Academy, and the other one is Eagle Educational Academy. Crosby serves students in K-5. So those are our elementary kiddos. And we have 33 students enrolled in our day program for elementary students. So that, you know, the students need to be on an IEP. They need to be identified as having some significant needs in the area of behavior and social emotional learning, where the IEP team has decided that they really need a specialized setting in order to make academic and behavioral progress. So class sizes are really small. We have two teachers in every class. And we really, with a general education teacher and a special education teacher, so those two experts can come together and do some really nice planning around academics and intervention. It also has a director, a dean of students, a full-time social worker, school adjustment counselor, and we have paraprofessionals that also support the teachers in that program. So,
yeah, and I want people to understand out there just what the group that Melissa just covered. Yes, it does take a village. Mm-hmm. It really does take a village. And I'm certainly not at an educational level, but I was at an administrator level of, as one of the youthful offenders said, you're like a keeper. And so that's what I call myself, a keeper. But how does a kiddo get to alternative education?
So it really should be driven by a lot of data collection and interventions that happen for a student over time.
Yeah, yeah.
So for our day programs for Eagle and Crosby, it really is driven by the special education process. So students that are identified as not accessing the curriculum, not making educational progress, struggling with behaviors in a typical setting, it's really the school's responsibility to look at that and provide some interventions. So it starts at the general education classroom level, where teachers are modifying and responding and doing things right within the regular ed classroom. We might pull in some service providers and some school adjustment counselors to sort of beef up those interventions if they're not working and we see that the student is still not making progress. We know that we have some children that come to us with some substantial trauma backgrounds and have had really challenging things happen either within their family or to them personally. And sometimes that really impacts a child's ability to learn in a typical way. So for those students who continue to show us that they need more, the IEP team really looks at that data, looks at evaluations to determine what we call the least restrictive environment in terms of special education placement. And sometimes based on those needs, a child would be placed in a public day program. And again, it really is for students that have a high level of need where they need a lot of specialized instruction to make progress academically and behaviorally. So that's the process.
And I think I want the people, it just isn't, one incident, that ends you up in alternative education.
Sure. Yeah.
And I can remember back, when it was at that, which is now the warehouse at over on Newell Street, the name.
Yeah, that was Hibbert. That was Hibbert Alternative School. Little side story. My mother. My mom was a paraprofessional there for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So kudos to all those paras that helped.
Colleen Rossi and Bobby Sykes.
Yes.
Bobby Sykes and I went to school together, and Carlene Rossi's younger than Bobby Sykes and I. But anyhow, he would ask me to come every so often when I would be home to speak. And, I want people to get the right picture of this. This isn't mollycoddling. This is education. This is setting structure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we found, and Melissa, if I say something wrong, please just jump right on me.
I will.
What we found was so many of the youthful offenders I dealt with didn't have any structure or any understanding of boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's true. Some of our students just come to school without, they just haven't had great experiences at school, and they need to, and we really work on them with building really solid relationships with the adults that were there. And so not only were they working on academics to make academic progress, but they were really trying to learn how to be a student and identify goals for themselves so that they could have those aspirations, knowing that high school was for them, a diploma was a goal that they should have, and then them for when they left school. So
that's an important point you just said. In fact, I'm doing another writing about youthful offenders, but a lot of them never envisioned an education because they were raised in a home where an education wasn't considered valuable, or that they couldn't. The most damaging story I ever heard was when this kid's mother kept reinforcing how stupid he was. And then he believed it.
Yeah.
And you must see that too. You'll get a kick, and now it's sad, but it's gallows humor. I had a kid, and he had committed a pretty serious crime. And I said, I'm reading your file. You have problems in school. He said, yeah, I had detention every single day. I said, you're proud of that? No, I just I was a behavioral problem. And I said, dude, you sound like you're proud of it. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I'm not proud of it. You have to understand, I didn't want to go home. I didn't have a home. My mother was a crack dealer. School was the safest place in my life. And the only way I could say it, I don't do sports, I don't play an instrument, was I had to get detention. Now, his logic was certainly flawed, but you got to look by that. And you are an expert in this, guy.
Yep. So we really, obviously, one of the most important aspects of our alternative programs, no matter if it's the academies or it's some of our, you know, our other programs that address different needs, is that adult relationship, that connection with a caring adult who really... Yeah. Provides that child, that student, with an opportunity to talk through some of this stuff and start to identify some goals for themselves and start to shift like, oh, if I need, you know, if this is a safe place for me, do I need to do these negative things or can I sort of shift my behavior and get my needs met in a different way? And it's, you know, it's a process and some kids, you know, move through it more quickly and some kids it takes longer for them to kind of, you know, build that skill set. But, you know, that it's really always about trying to find the unique brilliance in every kid and letting them know that everybody has skills and talents that they can use.
Yeah. And I liked about how they can be part of the new, because my memory is, I forget where the refrigerator is, but the new, what was vocational, something, what do you call it now?
Career and technical education.
Yeah, that's it too. Yeah.
You got it. That's one thing that happens for many, it's starting to happen more frequently for our students at Eagle Educational Academy, I think is really exciting. So if a student requires that small, really personalized academic setting, but they also want opportunities to participate in career technical education, our, the director of Eagle and the principal of Taconic and his staff have really been, I think, instrumental and creative in working out hybrid schedules. Oh, so cool. Some of our students are able to, as I said, they attend Eagle for their academic portion of the day, but we provide transportation and connection and support so that those students can experience CTE. Yeah. And that is really amazing. And we're really proud and very thankful for the partnership that we have with Taconic to do that.
And again, I repeat myself, but when you get to be 77, you're going to repeat yourself too. Why I'm doing this, are we listening to what being said? Transportation, split education, we're working to save a person. And Carmen Massimiano, God rest his soul, used to have a saying, and Melissa, you probably remember, you were around, right? You can pay me now or you can pay me later, but you're going to pay me if we don't take care of people. And, I can't, if you haven't really been, if you've watched this program all week and you really can say you didn't get anything out of it, I apologize, because I have gotten so much out of every one of these people. You just said about Dr. Bishop, you talk about a guy that really bends over backwards to make things work. He's one of them. And so is Tammy Gage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Those schedules wouldn't be possible without, well, thank you, but those schedules really wouldn't be possible without the people's willingness to really collaborate and problem solve and have at the forefront what's best for students. Because sometimes it's messy for the adults. Like schedules get complicated. There's a lot of logistics to work out.
Yeah.
That's our, and that's what we need to figure out as the adults, because it really is about what is the right thing to do for students.
Yeah. And each student is different. Mm-hmm. They may have some similarities, and I can't speak to students. I speak to the ones that I dealt with. Yes, they have some similarities, perhaps, whatever, but each one of them had a different twist to their being.
For sure. Yeah, we see that all the time. It's a sort of like similar needs, but they have those needs for a variety of reasons. And you know, each student, comes to us with their own, you know, with their own story and their own set of needs that we need to try to work with them on. So
what age wise, you made an important thing. You can go to 22. Is that right? Did I hear you right?
Yep. So under IDEA, which is special education law,
right.
Students who are identified as special education students receiving services through an IEP are eligible to go to school until they're 22 years old. Now, most don't. However, we do find some of our students with some significant like cognitive impairments or intellectual impairments, and sometimes social emotional, really need to stay with us for an extended period of time to receive what we call our transition services. So they've sort of completed their academics, they've met their, you know, their academic graduation requirements, but they are working on some really substantial self-advocacy skills and self-determination skills and transition skills that will help them be as independent as possible when they leave. Now, sometimes they leave and go to some adult services through DDS, Mass Rehab Commission. And so there's, you know, we know that sometimes people will just need supports throughout their entire life, but we want to make sure that we have prepared them as well as we can to be independent when they leave.
And again, you know, we look at the, I think we're learning more and more about the maturing of the brain and all this stuff that, you know, when I went to school, if you're in second grade, they expected so much, you know, and they didn't expect when you were in seventh grade, you were acting like a second grader. But we're learning it, and you're right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
You and your whole operation there and SPED and the reality of today's world, I guess, is it's not, and I stress this, I've said it every day this week, and I know you're tired of, it's not your grandfather or your father's school anymore.
Yeah.
Or is it our world anymore? The IEPs, how do they, what's the channel to get one of those? What do they have to do?
So in order for a child to be eligible for an IEP, which is an individualized education program, they have to have an identified disability that's defined through Mass General, like, you know, through the law. We have definitions of all those different disability categories. And we need to, so we, as a school district in partnership with families, determine whether or not a child may have a disability, and we assess and evaluate for that. And then we have to determine whether or not that child requires specially designed instruction, which means that it's different from what a child, so a child's in second grade, the teacher is planning for instruction, there's district curriculum.
Right.
And if it's, you know, if that second grader really can't access that and learn in that way, we need to start exploring whether or not they have a disability. They may have a reading disability that requires a special education teacher to plan that curriculum to address like how that brain is working and how this child needs to learn to read, because they're not able to do that with like typical instruction.
Right. So right.
That's, you know, that's how it happens. And it run special education addresses all different types of disabilities.
Sure.
So it's their learning disabilities. They could be intellectual disabilities, social, emotional, and behavioral disabilities, neurological and sensory, like hearing and vision. So there is a gamut, and there are categories of disability within the state. And if a student is identified as having one of those and they require specially designed instruction that a special ed teacher needs to help plan for and deliver, then a student qualifies for an IEP.
In your career, and have you ever run into kiddos with TBI, traumatic brain injury?
Yes, not a lot.
No.
Sometimes, like through, you know, sometimes it's unfortunate, you know, that's horrible to say, but sometimes through like an accident when they were very young.
Yeah.
Car accident or, you know, something, you know, so we have had some students with traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah. I was not as familiar with it when I was back doing this as I am now. And I would say I had not a huge percentage, but a significant number who experienced traumatic brain injury at some stage of their life.
Yeah.
And that would be a certified disability, right?
So that would fall under, if it reached the level of the student couldn't access the curriculum without specially designed instruction, it would usually fall like under neurological, which would include traumatic brain injury. Okay.
The other, you mentioned in, this good looking lady right here, Her name is Melissa Brights, and she is, and your title again, please.
I'm the Director of Alternative Education for Pittsfield.
And I'll probably ask you again, because I don't know where the staircase is.
Totally fine.
And we're talking about, and it's alternative education. We'll give you some number. We're a morning show, Melissa, so people are in and out, and they, you know.
Yeah.
But the important part is that it's part, an integral part, I want to make that clear, of the Pittsfield school system. While it may be a specialized program, some of the kiddos can go to the shops and learn vocation. These are special considerations that the school district has made to make education holistic in meeting the needs of the child. Was any of that fair? Not fair to say?
I think that was totally right on, Bill. Yep.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
My wife was a teacher for 42 years, so she's been coaching me. but all kidding aside, the other thing I do want to bring out too, and I have to do this. So much of what is done at Mercer and other places, I'm sure what Melissa's team does, is mandated from Boston or Washington.
Yep.
So before people load their guns and fire about we have too many, find out what people do. Thank you very much. That's my little bit. And of course, let me just say this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the guys with the snow plows still driving around. It is May. Take the plows off. the court, it's child-centered. What I'm picking up in the research I've done, because I try to do research on every one of the topics that we've done. It really is child-centered, and to get to that child, there's a lot of different routes.
So our programs really, we've talked a lot about our public day programs, Crosby and Eagle, and they meet a significant need that we have in our district. We want to make sure that students that, require a specialized place to go to school because of their unique needs have that opportunity. But there, in addition to those, we have some programs at the high schools and the middle school who address the needs of students that are really anxious, that have trouble coming to school because a large typical school setting is overwhelmed. Oh. So, a lot of times, I'm sure everyone is aware that we are really looking closely at our absentee rates in Pittsfield public schools. And so one of the ways that we help support students that are not coming to school because of anxiety or just feeling overwhelmed is through what was originally called our learning labs, and Ms. Gage was instrumental in developing that program at Reed Middle School.
Yep.
It was a combined middle school, high school program. So instead of putting students on tutoring who were not coming to school because they were anxious, we developed a program for that. So now we are really fortunate enough to have one at the middle school level and at the high school level. We've rebranded a little bit. We're called the Innovation Center.
Okay.
And it is they're blended learning classrooms, which means that we use a combination of some online curriculum and face-to-face teacher, tutor, and paraprofessional support in a very supported, quiet, individualized driven plan. So we have it at Reed Middle School. We have 12 middle school kids between and Herberg that come over and they're working on their social skills. They're working on those feelings of anxiety. We're pushing them out to some classes to get a little bit, to get back into the flow of things. But they have a safe place where they can come to school and not feel so overwhelmed and anxious. And a lot of times they have some outside service providers that we also partner with to help look at the whole child. Like, what can we do to support this kiddo being able to be more resilient and to work on those feelings of anxiety? We have a similar model at the high school that is at PHS, and we have probably close to 25 students enrolled in that program. And what is really nice about having it at PHS for just high schoolers is that, again, in our partnership with Maggie Esco, Those students can go out and take classes. So they might do part of their day in the Innovation Center, but if they are a strong math student or they really want to do a world language, they have the opportunity to go out and do that. And we do have some students, again, that do that hybrid schedule that go do their academics at Innovation and go to Taconic for CTE.
It's really what I'm hearing is this system is bending over backwards to meet the needs of every child. And, you know, where when I see people with the dedication, you know, as I said, my wife was a elementary school teacher. When I see the people and the dedication that these people put into what they're doing, you can become not angry, but discouraged when people are so quick to criticize when they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, they have no idea what you're doing. That's why we're doing this program. I want people to understand they are, and I've said this before all week, just so you understand, Pittsfield Public Schools. Yeah. So however the kiddo shows up at the door, they got to deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
And from what I'm hearing from Melissa, I mean, psychosocial, when we come back from the break, we used to do psychosocial testing. And some of the results were astounding. And 14-year-olds who psychosocially were in their 20s, and then when you looked into it, they were the mother or they were the father of the other siblings. And that's not throwing stones. That's reality, folks. That's how some family structures are today. And
Family structures are wide and they're varied. And, it is what it is. Like we understand that society is very complex, and the way that families have to meet the needs within their family varies from family to family. And we have students that are in some caregiver responsibilities because everybody else in the family is working to try to
meet.
And we recognize that. So we try to plan for that, support the student in that, like knowing that that's a reality, but also providing what we can provide for a strong academic program too, so that they can keep moving forward.
Yeah, I was just going to pick up on that and just say I can. One of the kiddos that I really took a liking to, he didn't have a visit, you know, and that's some social psycho emotion there. And finally, his mother showed up, and I said, "Gee, I'm so glad you could make it." She said, "Well, I worked 3 jobs, and my boss today didn't need me. And that's why I haven't been able to visit. But I talked to him on the phone." Well, those days, that was a collect call, and they weren't cheap collect calls. So she had to limit that too. I mean, I repeat myself, but don't be so quick to judge everybody. And walk, you know, what's the old Native American saying? Walk a mile in their shoes. Well, I'll tell you, some of these people, I wouldn't make 100 yards in their shoes. I'll be honest with you. This is, I'll tell you, Melissa Bright, she is, huge title, but anyhow, she just really is great. Alternative education, I'll just say that. Director, and if you're not, I just promoted you, and if you are, I just remembered.
You got it right.
Oh, I did, I remembered. Oh, I have to make a note of that. We're going to take about a 1 or 2 minute break. I do want to thank you for, please stay tuned. You know, we're going into budgets, we're going into all kinds of assessments and reestablishing, and let's understand what, first of all, the holistic student looks like, and all the demands put on by the state and the federal government, and also all the demands these teachers and administrators have every single day. I'll leave you with this. This mother that we know, she had 3 kids. She said, how could you ever have been a teacher for that many years, Roseanne, my wife? She said, I had them home with a Zoom, you know, TV or whatever, when they were out of school for COVID. Oh, yeah. She said, my God.
That was an interesting time.
Yes, it was. But I will also leave you with this, too. In our family, we have a child with autism. Never did better in school than one-on-one in the machine. No distractions.
Yeah, it's a fit for students. Yeah.
We'll be back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. Be an educated voter. Be an educated taxpayer. Be an education on all that goes on in the schools. You may be a grandpa, grandma, mom and dad, soon to be in the future, but know what's available. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. Today it's not bright and shiny, but I'll tell you, it's real. And it's real that we are trying to make we, the citizens of Pittsfield, through our tax dollars, Melissa and her wonderful team and the whole team behind the Pittsfield school system, teachers, administrators, custodians, we're trying to give the best education and environment to kiddos. That said, not every kiddo comes there with angel's wings. And Melissa and her team, she heads up a situation called alternative education. And we've been talking about that, and you have to get an IEP to get into it, but it's Pittsfield School District has really opened up the windows, I think, to alternative education by addressing the needs of every child. If you're at PHS and you're in a program there, but you want to go to Taconic to do a vocational program, if you meet all the criteria, that can happen. So I'll just leave it at that. But there's another thing, Reset and Rise. Just give us a what is that?
So those are what we call two restorative classrooms that we have developed over the last 5 years to help students build their social emotional capacities, right? So we know that sometimes students come to us and they have some lagging skills in behavior and the way that they deal with stress or, conflict with students. So we wanted to be more proactive and do some skill building coupled with some accountable consequences. So our Rise and Reset rooms really came out of our work when we reauthorized the Code of Conduct, Character, and Support. And we did that back in 1920. We started that process probably in 1819, exploring and doing some research, and then worked with a consulting firm called Engaging Schools to help us rewrite our code. And what came out of that was a realization that we know that some students really just need more instruction. Like, you know, you have to learn how to do math in a class. You have to sometimes learn how to behave or learn how to calm yourself when you're dysregulated. Those are skills that we learn over time. And some students need more opportunities to do that. So we have what's called a reset room, and that exists at all four of our secondary schools in a little bit of a different capacity at the elementary level. But it's a classroom that's designed for students that sort of need like an immediate opportunity to do exactly what the room says, to reset. So a student is dysregulated in class. The teacher is intervening and providing them with all the supports that we typically would do in a regular classroom. Sometimes they just need more. They just need to step away for a little bit to get themselves back under control. So they go to the reset room. It's staffed by a teacher and sometimes a paraprofessional also. And they go through a very structured reflection process. So if they come in and they're hot and they're still struggling, they have an opportunity to do some calming. And that is guided by the teacher with some really proactive and mindful strategies that they're taught while they're there. And then they go through that structured reflection process where they're able to sort of identify why they needed to leave class or were asked to leave class.
Yeah.
Talk about their role in it, to come up with a guided conversation with a teacher about what could they do differently next time and what they need for support to get back to class. So we have some students that might use that a couple of times. We have some students that use reset a lot, and that's really good data because that tells us that they might need some more supports in general.
We
try really hard to collect information about students that go to reset so we can share that with parents, administrators, and classroom teachers. So that's reset. It really is just like a kid is struggling. Instead of just sending them out into the hall because there was nowhere to send them, they actually can go to a classroom and build some skill.
And to me, again, what we're learning, the data collection is to me invaluable. And I've said this before on air several times. What I like about, going back to Dr. Eberwein, Dr. McCandless, and now Mr. Curtis. When they got what I don't have a life, Melissa, so I get to watch like city council meetings and subcommittees. But when I watch the school committee, it's data driven. It's not knee jerk driven. Wow, Johnny was a bad boy. Let's do this. You know. You must find out fascinating things.
It's very interesting. So when we look at the data for the students that go to our reset rooms, sometimes it becomes very apparent that a student is being asked to leave the same class. So oftentimes what that boils down to is that student is not secure and confident in their skills in math or whatever it is. So that's information for the teacher to then adjust instruction or to be able to meet the student in a different place. We find that there are transition times during the day, like kids have a hard time settling in after lunch, and we might see kids popping up and needing reset, which tells us that we need to think very carefully about how we're transitioning back from lunch, getting the kids ready and settled to then engage in the next period of instruction. So we find out all like really fascinating things about students by looking at the data. Like time of day, period of class, is just so many things. So we try to collect good data and then use it to make informed decisions.
We had a situation when I was running the program. We had a lot of what we call incidences, and they seemed like a half hour to an hour after lunch every day. And so the medical doctor clued us in and said, "Look at what they're eating." Well, the program was in South Carolina. So for lunch, they were given sweet tea. Now, if you've ever been in the South and drank sweet tea, if you're drinking it, you can feel your teeth just falling out because it's like 85% sugar with about 15% tea.
Yeah.
So we went, and again, it's an education. I don't want to take your time. So I went to the steward and I said, "Let's go." Well, because it was an adult correctional facility, they have prescribed spending. And I said, "I'd like to have them have milk." And he didn't, yes or no. So we didn't have any change. And I went down and I said, "You're giving them milk?" He said, "No, I'm giving them Kool-Aid." Because Kool-Aid was in their
yeah. Okay.
So we had to make administrative changes. But isn't that fascinating about the period of the day?
Yep. Yeah.
And collecting that data, that helps the whole country. That just doesn't help, Pittsfield. It really does. Now, the other program,
So it's called our RISE room.
RISE.
RISE. And that stands for Restorative In-School Education. So that really, for us old folks, is in-school suspension. However, there really is a twist to it. We know that sometimes kids break rules and sometimes they do it in a way that requires a consequence. So when we looked at our new code of conduct, one of our philosophies and one of the beliefs that we have is that when a student makes a mistake, there needs to be a consequence, but there needs to be an aligned restorative intervention, right? There needs to be some skill building around that behavior, because we don't want it to continue. And right. if kids were just provided a consequence for a bad behavior, we would have no bad behaviors, because we can dole out consequences all day long. But we need to fill that skill gap that they have, so they won't continue to do those.
Yeah.
So when they go, so say chronic skipping, or they got in a fight, they could be assigned to a day or two in our RISE program. And that program operates like a classroom. So the teachers know ahead of time what the infraction is, right. So that they can plan a social skills lesson or some kind of learning experience to address that particular behavior. So students have an opportunity to get caught up on their academics. And then the RISE teacher also provides an SEL lesson around that. So again, if it's chronic skipping, they sort of dig into their grades with them. They have a conversation about what they might need for support. If it's fighting, they could be doing a conflict resolution lesson. So we really try to be thoughtful with our resources about how to intervene when they are in the RISE room. What I think is really impressive, and we're getting better at this every single year, is that, and I can give you some really great examples from Taconic High School, is that the teachers are coming into the RISE room to see their kids. They're like, I missed you today. You're not in class. I want to make sure you know like what assignments you're missing, and I wanted to check in with you. The SACs, the school adjustment counselors, will go in and check on a student. And there's a lot of communication between the RISE teacher and the classroom teachers and administrators, so that we really start to have a picture of what's going on for these kids.
And the bond, bond is broken.
Right. And so that, part of being in RISE too is engaging in a restorative conversation. So you've got to go back to this class where you made a pretty big mistake and you got to own it, but we're going to help you have that conversation and result and hopefully repair some of that relationship with your teacher. So you're not going to, because when kids don't do that, they don't have the skill to have that conversation with an adult. They're right. likely to avoid class and then continue whatever that behavior was, because they're feeling a certain sort of way about going back in. So we really want to help empower children to know that they can have a conversation and repair a wrong. That's what, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. And we want to just really help kids know that, so you made a mistake, that's okay. Here's what you're going to do to fix it, and here's how we'll help you.
And the other thing that always I found, and I've cautioned people about this, so I spoke about it in one of the other programs, labeling. Mm-hmm. I instructed, and my personal belief was with my staff, I don't care what they're here for, what they've done. We judge them. We meet them where they are, and we try to get them the tools to get where they need to be. And that's pretty much what you're, but one of the things that even some of the documents that I read, official documents, they were labeled. Yeah. He's following in the footsteps of his brother who's Baba. Well, we don't need all that jargon. When you come in, and I used to tell them, you'll be treated here like men as long as you act like men. And this isn't juvie. You graduated now. You're in graduate school. Those are real locks on those doors. And I love what you're doing. I really think, maybe it's because I dealt with kids that didn't have these opportunities, and either family wise or school wise or whatever. And I have to tell you, you'll get a kick out of this when you said math. So I'm on the yard, and we had a point system. And for every point, for every whatever, you got points. And then the points determined what level in the program you were in. More free and less. So I see this one kid in the yard, and I said, I said, how you doing? He goes, oh, I was doing good. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I was doing good at math. I said, yeah, what happened? He goes, did you know they put letters in with a number?
Oh, no, Bill.
Yep,
they do. That happens.
and he said, I'm all lost now. I said, I'll say something and see if I can get you some extra help. Yeah, he said, I'm not stupid, you know, because I was doing good with the numbers, but then they put the letters in.
Yeah.
But you guys see that. And the reaction to it to me is, I can't say enough. That, what the teachers are specially chosen and specially trained to mm-hmm. be in these situations?
Yeah, so at the academies, at Crosby and Eagle Academy, we prefer, you know, we hire special education teachers.
Yes.
And then we have, obviously, our school adjustment counselors who are highly, you know, highly skilled and trained in the area of social emotional learning and helping to coach teachers and kids about some strategies to help, you know, with kind of what the classroom looks like. But yeah, so we, you know, in those two programs, teachers need to be either content licensed or special or have a degree and a license in special education.
Okay.
So, and in addition to that, you know, a lot of our professional learning and professional development for those programs are, you know, we want to make sure that they're teaching well and they understand the district curriculum and but we also want to make sure that we're specializing and differentiating their professional development around the kind of students that they're teaching to. So, you know, we try to improve their practice with professional learning over time, sure. but we are looking for teachers that are licensed in those areas as well.
And isn't that, are they hard to get? Cause I know in one of the interviews, they were saying part of the problem is since COVID it's hard to get replacement. And
yeah. I think it's a Pittsfield concern. It's a Massachusetts concern. It's a national problem.
Yeah.
People are not going into education in the numbers that they were. So finding fully licensed people is really hard. So that means that here, like in our district, we work really hard to design professional development and new teacher induction programs and mentoring to fill in some of those gaps that maybe people didn't have because they didn't come to teaching through a traditional like teacher prep program.
Right. Right. And a lot of it more and more, I think too, as people realize the benefits of being a teacher. And I think for COVID certainly threw everybody a curve.
Yeah.
But my wife taught for all these years. We bump into kids that she had in first and second grade that have their own kids that are in high school.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a very rewarding career. And I'm saying that for people out there that, you know, if you're interested in it, at least look into it because it's very fulfilling. As we wind down, I just would want to say too, if you have more questions, you know, you can work through the superintendent's office and filter it that way. I think it's probably the best. But I also think too that pay attention to what's going on. I mean, maybe you don't have kids in school. I don't have kids in school, and I don't have grandkids that are ready to go to school yet. But I try to stay. Maybe it's the program, whatever. At least up to date on what's going on in my city, in my school department, and I hope this week has been enlightening to all of you. If you have questions, I would say probably funnel them through the superintendent's office is the best route. I haven't checked that out. So if he gets mad at me, I'm going to blame Melissa. I'm going to say, well, Melissa said,
you can tell him I said it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I'll throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. In closing, just give a 30,000 foot overview of psychosocial. Break that down for the folks. I mean, it seems self-explanatory, but what I found when you get into it, it isn't just all that easy.
No, I think when you talk about that, like we really want to make sure that we are looking at the child holistically, that we're looking at all aspects of who they are as a person. We want to know how they learn, what ways they learn best, where some of their skill deficits are, and then sort of like what, you know, what's going on for them socially. Where do they fit in their family? Where do they fit in their peer group? What pressures and barriers might they experience as they're trying to learn? So it really is not just about like their math or reading skills. It's about so much more, and really looking at that child as a whole person and trying to figure out you know, what they need in order to be successful.
Yeah, and trying to get a little bit into their background to figure out why, how they are where they are and how they got to where they are. That's another thing with me. I read every file of every kid that came through, and I sometimes wonder where everybody was and how the situation got as bad as it was, but that is what it
that's,
is.
You know, and I feel like that's important information. Oh. And we really work with our teams to treat that information respectfully. And that doesn't define who a student is. That just helps us understand where they are in this moment. And then help me, maybe, you know, helps us decide, like, in helps us to decide, like, what interventions, what supports might be more useful for a student. But we don't, you know, we don't want that to be what defines a student. It's just what is, what has happened, and what has brought them to where they are so that we can help move them forward.
Yes, and in your case too, I would think, and in my case, it didn't make any, but in a way, it did. We did. We reached out to outside agencies.
Yeah, absolutely.
That had the in-house expertise. You certainly, you guys have the in-house, but there's always that the another set of eyes, another set of ears, another. I did not hesitate to reach out for help, because I. In a way, I felt very badly for all the ones that were there. Some of them are probably still there. Their sentences were horrendous. Yeah. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I would like to catch up and run a few things by off air.
Of course.
Yeah. And the best of luck. And as we approach summer, mm-hmm. not today, because it's fall, but reason. But I want to thank you, and please pass on to your staff, at least one old fat bald guy appreciates what you do every single day for the people of Pittsfield and the kiddos of Pittsfield. And I think it's important that the people, especially people in the trenches, because every day you walk through those doors is another adventure.
Absolutely. I will pass that on for sure. Our staff is amazing. I am always impressed, and I am so impressed with the daily work that they do with our students, the wonderful connections they've made, and then to see students making progress is so fulfilling. And Bill, I appreciate you being able to have this opportunity to talk about this, because I don't think people recognize really the depth and continuum of programming that we do offer for our students here in Pittsfield. You know, it probably sometimes feels like it's never enough, but I think we are doing really great work in this district. And it's an opportunity to kind of highlight that and share that with folks out there.
Well, I hope I am, because the other piece is, and I will say this, and again, this is my opinion, that we, because we are the center of the county, because we have the local newspaper, because we are an urban school district with a variety of different kiddos with a variety of different needs. I'm not making good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying needs. Let's not be so quick to judge us being all of Pittsfield, specifically the school system. You don't know what they do every day. They do a lot of great work. And I leave you with this. How many school systems in Berkshire County can boast an astronaut? That said, God bless. Melissa, best to you, and please pass on.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Before I go, though, I have to read, Melissa, just give me 30 seconds.
Sure.
PCTV, we're having a pasta pizzeria number 2, Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m., Berkshire Hills Country Club. Be there. Help us out. It takes money to run these programs, even though all of this is volunteer. But we have to buy equipment, and there's licenses. But the other one, this is a Patriotic Rosary recognizing veterans. That will be May the 21st, which is, I believe, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., St. Charles Church. And that is on Briggs Avenue in Pittsfield. And also, Congratulations to my friends at Barrington Stage. 30 years. This is their 30-year season. And they've got a ton of things going on. And so please support the arts, support the schools, support WTBR and PCTV. We are Pittsfield's community radio. We are Pittsfield's community television. That's why we address community issues. God bless. Take care of each other. And today, do something nice for somebody. Lift their spirit. Be the light in their darkness. You never know. Believe me, you never know. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And I'll be in touch. Don't take that as a threat.
Sounds good. Thank you. Bye.